are going to delve into some of the details and get more reactions to Governor Scott Walker's proposed two-year budget on this edition of our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. It is coming up on 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, February 13th. So what questions do you have about the state budget? What do you think of the initiatives that Governor Walker put forward in his budget plan? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll break down some of Governor Walker's plans for spending plans for education and tax cuts and transportation and self-insurance and more. And we want to know what's on your mind. We have not one, but two of our state government watchers with us today. Sean Johnson is here. He is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
And also with us is Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Reporter. Good morning, Laurel.
Good morning.
Well, let's just get an overview first. Governor Walker gave his state budget address last Wednesday afternoon, and $76 billion worth of budget here.
$76 billion all funds, so that's not just the state budget that he has more control over, but federal funds, et cetera. But $76 billion, yes. So the budget has grown, and the general fund budget has grown with it, and that has, in this budget, let Governor Walker do a combination of things, appeal to a variety of constituencies in a way that he hasn't in previous budgets.
Like what?
Well, we already knew going into this that he was going to have this increase in education funding. That's something you haven't seen out of the gate before from the governor. About $650 million in new K-12 education funding, a roughly $200 increase per year in per pupil spending, which again, something that the governor hasn't proposed before. He's got, depending on how you score it, $100, $140 million increase in state funding for the University of Wisconsin system. The governor has cut the UW in each of his three previous budgets. So that's a little bit out of character from his past. But then you also have, and this is something we didn't know about until last Wednesday, tax cuts. Very much in character with the way that the governor has presented budgets before. And those are spread out a little bit here and there everywhere. Income tax, sales tax, property tax cuts, totaling roughly $600 million. So that's sort of the big picture over a couple years, is that there's more money. He's kind of getting more money in a variety of different ways to let him do this stuff. And so it's a different budget than you've seen before from the governor.
Yeah. And again, just generally, Sean or Laurel, how come the past couple of budgets have been more austere, more cuts? There was, you know, cut, and now we have money to spend. What's happening?
Well, I mean, I think a couple of things can be simultaneously true. One, we have more money. The economy has grown. That's a fact. Okay. Two, the governor has a reelection coming up in 2018. Typically, governors want to kind of put their best foot forward to voters ahead of their reelection. You see stuff in here that seems like an appeal potentially to rural voters who've become more significant in Wisconsin, rural school funding specifically, even the per pupil aid increase for schools. You know, that kind of stuff is, you see the governor as he campaigns on this budget already. He's bragging about the school funding. So he feels like that's kind of where people are at this point here in 2017.
Yeah. Laurel, I mean, are schools pretty much happy with this, or what?
It seems like schools are pretty happy with this. I think they were pleasantly surprised based on, you know, what you mentioned before. The governor's budgets have been a little tougher for schools until this year. It was interesting to see how the state school superintendent, Tony Evers, greeted the governor at the budget address. I think both arms were out. He was very happy. So it's good feelings there.
Interesting. Just an aside, we will be interviewing the candidates for State Superintendent of Public Instruction starting tomorrow at this time. Two candidates tomorrow, one candidate on Wednesday, because there is a primary on February 21st. So we will be doing that coming up tomorrow and the next day. But with this school funding, Aren't there some strings attached, Sean?
Yeah, one big string, I think you'd say, when it comes to the school funding, and that is that to get this increase in per pupil funding, you have to, I forget the terminology that the governor's office used, but essentially they create this new level of Act 10 compliance, that being the governor's collective bargaining law. And it basically says that a school needs to be, or a district needs to be, requiring teachers to pick up a certain percentage of their benefits, their health care, mm-hmm. their pension. And so it's not just Madison, but Madison is one of the noteworthy districts that may not meet that threshold. Whereas, you know, that is to say that the school district is picking up more of the teacher's pension and health care. So Madison's in a situation where potentially, at least preliminary reports were saying that the district could miss out on $16 million in state funding here because of this.
Because they're picking up more of the benefit costs for their teachers.
Right. And, you know, whether or not that ends up being in the final budget, or that is the metrics yeah. used, or, I mean, there's ways that Madison could potentially get around that. We don't know. I mean, but early on, you see sort of a nod to fights of the, you know, the past few years there. The governor put that in there. We do know that Madison's not the only district that's affected by that, though. And we don't have a comprehensive list. The governor's office didn't present one. I think you'll probably see one from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau at some point, assuming this stays in there.
Yeah. How about the increase in funding for our public schools? Is there any increase in funding for voucher schools in the budget?
It's not like explicit increase for voucher schools. There's not an expansion of voucher yeah. schools, as the governor's done in, I think, every other budget. That's not to say it won't be in the final budget. Republican legislative leaders, I think, already have hinted, at least one of them, that they want to give that a look. So if that's in there, it's the kind of thing that it's hard, if not impossible, to see the governor vetoing, because he's been on the same page as the voucher lobby, you know, his entire administration. But it's not, an expansion is not in there right now.
You know, John in Sturgeon Bay has a question along these lines, but maybe that answered it. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. Well, it did. I think with the combination of Betsy DeVos as the education secretary and then this big lump sum of money, I just feel, the track record says that we may be surprised that all this is not going to go towards public schools. And I also, just a side note on this, with the health care situation, 12% of the health care, are they going to start putting some of these same restrictions on the voucher schools that would end up getting state funding? That's something I'm very concerned about, because the competition for teachers will get extremely fierce as soon as those schools get funded.
Anybody have a thought on that? The state budget's not going to put regulations on private schools in terms of health insurance, right? I mean, that's how I understood that question.
Like the new restrictions on them, or new yeah. requirements for them to meet, there hasn't been a pattern of that. There hasn't been a pattern. The 12% number that was mentioned there, I think that is the threshold number that they set out there, right, Laurel?
That's the amount that teachers have to cover for their own health yeah. insurance.
Well, let me ask, Laurel, some of this funding is also relying on, we don't have enough time to go into it all before news, but it's relying on this self-insurance plan for the state of Wisconsin. Isn't that right?
That's right. And the governor's projecting a certain amount of savings from that change, which has been approved by the state insurance board as of last week. But one estimate said that the state would save, I think, about $60 million.
Over the 2 years, because
right.
they wouldn't start it until the middle of the first year of the budget, mm-hmm. I think. They wouldn't get all the projected savings.
Right. And then another study projected that it would actually cost the state money, I think about $100 million. So the governor is projecting a different number than that, but he's projecting that it'll end up in a good way for the state and put some more money in the coffers to spend on things like education.
Yeah, just a minute before news time, Sean, aren't even Republican lawmakers looking at this a little warily, saying, hey, we can't count on that $60 million?
Yes, they are. I think partly because they're not sure that the estimate is rock solid. But even if it is, I heard Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald say last week, I think it was at a WisPolitics forum, that even if that estimate's true, we're not sure that's enough to make us want to go along. That essentially you could be potentially blowing up the entire insurance, you know. You're definitely you're cracking up the status quo a bit when it comes to insurance in Wisconsin, and a lot of insurers and a lot of people would be affected. And so if you're not getting a huge pot of money, and $60 million's not small by any means, but it's not, you know, Fitzgerald was saying we thought it might be three times that much, it might not be enough incentive for them to take that leap.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief, and Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Reporter. We'll be back after the news. This is our State Capitol Report. We are talking about Wisconsin's proposed state budget, at least Governor Walker's proposed state budget, which he delivered last week before a joint session of the state legislature. Now the legislature will take a go at it. We are talking with our two state capitol reporters about what's in this budget, what's not, what we know now that we may not have then, and we're welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Sean Johnson is with us. He is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief, and Laurel White is with us, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Reporter. Let me disclose as we go into this conversation, I always forget to do this from time to time. We are employees of the University of Wisconsin Extension. So anytime we're talking about funding for the University of Wisconsin system or other such state employees, we should disclose that we are employees of the University of Wisconsin. And we were just talking before news time, Sean, about this self-insurance for public employees in the state of Wisconsin and how savings from that, the governor hopes, will help fund his increase in school funding. But what exactly is this? And maybe, Laurel, you can field this. Mm-hmm. What is self-insurance? Why does the state of Wisconsin want to self-insure?
So a lot of big companies do this. Basically, it's the state paying for insurance claims rather than having an insurance company do it. So when you file your claim, the state just pays it out of a pot of money. And some folks think that this could save a lot of money. Others say that the way the state insurance plan is as of right now is functioning quite well, you know, not operating in a deficit. So there's been a kind of a hearty debate about this potential change.
And besides the state paying the paying the bill, so to speak, does this mean anything for people like us and other state employees who get our health insurance from the state of Wisconsin?
I'm not sure you can answer that right now, really.
Right. Yeah,
I think those are the kind of details that once you make the switch to self-insurance, you would have to see the types of trade-offs that get made with the state as an insurer in order to, you know, come away with $60 million a year in savings. What does that mean in terms of, you know, benefits to
deductibles and co-pays and all that could go up in order to realize those savings, but we don't know that
yet.
Yeah,
it's just way too early to say, with concrete certainty here on what would happen, I think.
But again, with this self-insurance, as we were talking about a little bit before news, there, I know we talked to State Representative Dale Cuenga last week, and he wasn't so sure that this was the way to go, you know, and thinking that other reforms, might be, could be done, and the state wouldn't necessarily have to take over the whole shebang.
Yeah, there just hasn't been that ringing endorsement out there among among Republicans, especially. I mean, think about Representative Cuenga, who's on the Finance Committee, and somebody who's, I think, listened to pretty, his colleagues definitely consider what he has to say when it comes to budget issues. The leaders of the legislature, the Republican leaders, haven't been on board exactly. I don't know that it's a done deal. I wouldn't say that it's not going to happen either.
Elena in Madison, we're talking about it now, but it wants to know, can Sean explain why Governor Walker is moving to take on self-insurance for the state. Why would the state want to do this when they're trying to privatize everything else and repeal Obamacare? Again, the governor thinks this will save money. Is that right? Or
in a nutshell, yeah. The governor thinks it would save money. I mean, that it's part of his budget is based on that. The way he framed it was, we do self-insurance, K-12 schools and the University of Wisconsin gets more money. I actually don't know what that would mean if self-insurance were to come out. Does that mean that K-12 and University of Wisconsin would just, you'd get a flat $60 million reduction to what he proposed for them? The way that his budget is set up now, in you know, I think the way the governor envisions it, potentially, but that's the way he framed it.
Yeah. You know, we talked a lot about the public school, K-12 increase in funding that is proposed in the budget plan. But what about a little bit more on the university? The university is UW System President Ray Cross happy about this, or how is the university reacting to what's in the budget?
They're also pretty pleased. They're getting more than $100 million in new funding. So an increase there. I think $42 million of that is going to be tied to those performance measures that we've heard a little bit about over the past few months. So things like graduation rate, students that are getting degrees in particular fields that are high demand for the state of Wisconsin. And then, of course, I think the big news for the UW system out of this budget is that 5% tuition cut that the governor's proposing.
And is there universal consent or a consensus on that? It seems to me that some of the Republican lawmakers, including Assembly Speaker Voss, are not sure we need to freeze or cut tuition.
Yeah, there's definitely not universal support for that among Republicans. I think Speaker Voss has been the most outspoken about it, but you've heard other Republicans say as well that they'd like to do something else with that money. I mean, one of the criticisms we heard from the speaker is that you're giving a tuition cut to, in many cases, people who can afford to pay for college. And you're sort of, in the speaker's mind, you're going against an idea that he thinks is a Republican idea that is user fees. The tuition is like a user fee for somebody who's voluntarily, you know, using the University of Wisconsin. So it makes sense to have them pay tuition. And that if you want to make college more affordable, the speaker's saying you should target it more toward financial aid. You have other people there saying, well, we got $35 million there. We need more money in transportation. That might be a better fit for that money. And you might see that in other areas, too, where the governor's proposing money in the general fund, which is where income and sales taxes go. You've got this transportation fund issue, which is still a very big issue, and that's paid for by gas taxes, vehicle registration fees. But if they want to get creative, they can start, you know, quote, raiding one fund to pay for another, you know, shifting money from one fund to the transportation fund.
Well, good transition here. We should talk about the transportation budget and what the governor is proposing and how state legislators are reacting.
What the governor proposed is pretty similar to what he proposed in, you know, September of last year, mm-hmm. by and large, that when he rolled out the Department of Transportation budget last year and said, kind of, here's my line in the sand, no new taxes. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to delay some projects, bond $500 million to pay for the rest. Mostly, mm-hmm. that's what you see here, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he said no gas tax. That's been a conversation that Republican lawmakers have kind of been trying to have for the past few months. He also has about $500 million of bonding in there. And transportation bonding has been a heated debate in the legislature in the last few budgets. The governor proposed more last time. Lawmakers cut it down to $800 million, I believe. So that was kind of a compromise there. We don't know what we're going to see in terms of compromise for bonding in this budget. The governor also raided 2 cents of the gas tax, I think, for some kind of wonky tank cleaning.
The Petroleum Inspection Fund, yeah.
He's moving that over somewhere.
I mean, it's this fund that legislators have, for several years now, kind of they've taken money out of it to pay for transportation on a, quote, one-time basis. Just happens over and over again, and now they're just basically making that change permanent.
Ah, so we're not going to be clean. We're not going to clean the petroleum storage tanks.
Yeah,
anyway.
I mean, the administration said that that wouldn't be affected. That mm-hmm. this comes from retiring old bonds. I'd like to read more about it first.
Yeah. But again, Assembly Speaker Voss, I heard your story, Sean, post-budget address, and you said at one point Speaker Voss was rolling his eyes at things that the governor was saying, and that he was not about to salute, you know, everything the governor said.
I mean, it was brief, but mm-hmm. during his speech, while Walker's up there, Speaker Voss is right behind him up on the speaker's podium sitting there, and it was this part where Walker talked about increasing this large increase to local road aids, which in dollar terms for the state is not huge. It is a large increase because compared to recent years when they've gotten none of what they wanted, it's a better year for them. And but Speaker Voss is saying it's, you know, that's not real, basically. And so you saw him roll his eyes.
And he actually doesn't think that the governor has proposed an adequate or serious budget to take care of the state's transportation needs.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you want to play that now. This is Speaker Voss the morning of the budget. He was speaking to the Wisconsin Counties Association and clearly came there ready to send a message. You know, the Counties Association is listening to legislative leaders, but these are your representatives of local government, specifically county government. And so they know kind of what the challenges they face and what this money means to them. So here's the message that Speaker Voss sent that morning when he was speaking to local government leaders about the transportation budget.
I am not going to support a budget that increases spending for you by cutting spending at the state and creating no new revenue. So Governor Walker has attempted to buy off local governments by saying we're going to take from the fixing of the state highways by giving maintenance funding to local governments. Now, most of you realize that Governor Walker's proposal is going to, in the average township, be enough money to fix about 53 feet of road. Okay? So it's not a serious proposition, but he is attempting to make it serious. And that's why I want you to not leave here thinking that you're going to get this increase in your revenue without us having an increase in revenue at the state or some long-term plan that is not just going to cut our way into prosperity, okay?
So what is Speaker Voss advocating? What is he? What do you suspect he's going to be fighting for on, you know, on the Assembly floor?
I don't know at this point.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of know what he'd like in a perfect world. But it feels like that's not going to happen. If we have, you know, time to play the governor from the next day after the budget. If you remember, there was talk after the governor introduced his DOT budget last September. And he was saying, I would be potentially open to some kind of a gas tax or fee increase for transportation if there's a corresponding tax cut in the general fund so that the overall tax burden in Wisconsin does not go up. So here you have the governor's budget with a number of tax cuts in the general fund. You've got this income tax cut, sales tax cut, overall $600 million cut over 2 years. That would actually match up with what Republican leaders were talking about with they wanted a $300 million tax increase for transportation. So it looks like a deal is possible, right? But no. The governor was asked in Milwaukee the day after the budget. You can actually hear the question verbatim here about that possibility. I mean, it seems to rule out that possibility of a tax swap.
A meager income tax
Senator,
reduction.
That's Senator Fitzgerald. We don't want to
play him. All right, maybe this is it. Oh, I might not have it then. I'm sorry, because it looks like I think I have.
Well, we could reenact it for you if you'd like. There was a question from a reporter. Would you be open to any kind of gas tax in any scenario? And he gave a very firm no, essentially. So if he's not open to it in any scenario, that rules that out. And so if that revenue is not going to be there, I don't know what's going to make the speaker happy.
Yeah, apologize for that. There must have been a little bit of a mix-up with that audio. But what about Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald? Where does he stand on all this?
Well, I mean, Fitzgerald he's often playing his cards pretty close to his vest. Says, I need to talk to my caucus about that. he'll sort of hint at displeasure with something sometimes, but not really rule it out. Say there was one thing where he really seemed to rule it out, and that was at a WisPolitics forum last week when he was talking about the governor's proposed income tax cut, which would be for lower income earners, would cost the state roughly $200 million over the biennium in lost revenue. Fitzgerald sounded like he was not pleased with that in this audio from WisPolitics.
A meager income tax reduction. I think we've been down that path before, and it's resulted in not enough bang for the buck. So I would say that this legislature, probably members of both houses, are looking for stuff that, you know, is limited but can be either phased in or very specific, so that you can make the case that, you know, in this environment, in this fiscal environment, we're doing something that people recognize, that helps them, helps the middle income people of Wisconsin benefit.
Because we have limited time before news break, isn't the governor also proposing some sort of a prevailing wage or some sort of labor issue that would save money for transportation? And I'm wondering how that's going over.
Yes, he's proposing two things, a prevailing wage, continuing to roll that back. We saw a little bit of that last session. And then a change to something called project labor agreements and whether local governments can enter into those when they're hiring contractors for public construction projects. So the governor and supporters of these changes say that that's going to save some money that can go toward road projects rather than workers.
And what's the next step with this transportation thing, Sean? I mean, we're just going to joint finance is going to come up with whatever it thinks might be the way to go.
Yeah, there to hear Leader Fitzgerald, who's actually kind of stepped back from this transportation stuff. You know, he hasn't complained about it nearly as vigorously as Speaker Voss. But Fitzgerald's out there saying there's got to be a deal. There's going to be a deal. I don't know what it is. And he's basically saying the governor's got to come the speaker's way, and I don't know what that means, because there's if there's a real adamant opposition to new revenue, you know, and the speaker wants to address long term transportation issues, it gets a little tricky. And I mean, he said that I'm prepared to take this budget to October. Basically, it should be done by July 1st in theory.
Joan in Eau Claire is with us. Hi, Joan. We have just a minute before news. What is your point?
Good morning.
Good morning, Joan. Go ahead, please.
My comment is that I'm not the least bit convinced that Scott Walker cares anything about schools or students or citizens. I believe his only concern is his own political campaign coming up in 2018. Currently, he's going all around the state campaigning on our dime. And thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you, Joan. Well, it's been noted that a lot of people think that this budget was put together in part because of Governor Walker's presumed reelection campaign, Sean, in 30 seconds.
Yeah, you heard Democrats say that as they reacted to this speech, that this is clearly a reelection budget. I mean, the trick for them, though, is like finding something that, I mean, they're not going to win if they just say that it's a re-election budget. They've got to either refute it or say, here's a better option.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about some other areas in the state budget that maybe we haven't heard a whole lot about yet. We'll talk about corrections and park fees and much more coming up after the news. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief, and Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Reporter. We are talking about Wisconsin's proposed state budget. Governor Walker proposed a spending plan for the next 2 years, and now the state legislature will take a look at it, and maybe we'll have a new state budget in place by the start of the fiscal year, which is July of 2017. And we're welcoming your questions about this budget, or your hopes or your fears, areas of concern. Maybe you're happy about something that's in the state budget. Maybe you're not sure of something. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Boy, we have a lot of areas to cover, but we have Matt in Wausau who emailed, bonding is borrowing. Why don't we call it that? Why aren't we more vocal about debt service than we are? The budget hasn't been balanced once since Walker took over, unless you include borrowing. What homeowner doesn't include borrowing and interest payments in their budget? So what do we think of that?
Yeah, so I don't disagree that we should call it borrowing. You know, I think we probably trade off in terminology just so that we're not sounding repetitive, maybe. Or maybe we get maybe we've been in too many budget briefings and we start saying bonding too much. But bonding is borrowing. You're 100% correct. I will say that when it comes to the transportation fund, the governor's proposing to borrow $500 million to balance it out this time. That would be lower than, you know, his previous budgets, lower than recent budgets, really. But because of long-term trends, you're still going to see the amount the state pays toward debt service go up. So essentially, that if you consider like the state transportation budget, like a credit card bill, you'd be paying 25 cents of every dollar toward interest in future budgets. It'd be more like 22 cents on for every dollar. That's a lot. You know, that's not going toward building new roads. That's going toward paying off roads that were built years ago and their debt.
Yeah. All right. Well, so far we've talked about K-12 education funding, and we talked about the university funding. We've talked about this self-insurance model. We've talked about the transportation fund. We had a caller who didn't wait through the newscast, who just generally wanted to know, is there any big surprise in this budget that that we haven't heard about yet? Is there something that you looked at, Sean or Laurel, that said, whoa, wait a minute, he didn't talk about that on Wednesday night?
Hmm. Laurel, what's the big surprise? not to put you on the spot
right
here.
I don't think we had any big surprises.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big policy budget.
I mean, self-insurance was kind of so the self-insurance was new.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were talking about this is going to happen.
Yeah, it had been kind of in the works for a couple years, the State Group Insurance Board.
And he seemed to be telegraphing that he wanted to go this way.
Right, right.
I think for me, it's just always sort of a surprise on how, the other side of the budget, how a governor gets to where he wants to get with spending and tax cuts and everything. And I mean, essentially, he's taken a surplus that the state has built up right now and just eating it down to like $83 million, which is enough to run state government for maybe a couple days. It's not a lot of money. If there's a recession, which I'm not saying, recessions happen every 8 to 10 years. So if one of those happens, there's not a lot of money set aside in the state's general fund.
Yeah.
So, that's not like a huge surprise necessarily, but now we know that there's not much money left when you pay for all this stuff.
Yeah, well, I know that we also talked about the tax cuts that Governor Walker is proposing in this budget, almost $600 million when it comes to income and property and sales taxes. He's proposing a sales tax holiday for back-to-school shopping or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two sales tax holidays, one for each year of the biennium, and I think they're each $11 million, so $22 million total for that sales tax holiday.
And he says that the state should take off the state portion of the property tax bill. To tell you the truth, I didn't realize there was a state portion of the property tax bill.
It's not a large amount. If you check your bill, it's not a huge cut there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that would, that is something that, I mean, between that and the technical college property tax cut that they initiated a few years ago, that's, those would amount to substantial state dollars going toward reducing property taxes.
Yeah. And so he's cutting the taxes, doesn't want a tax increase, even a gas tax increase. But it looks like maybe state park fees or hunting and fishing fees would have to go up.
I believe that it would give the DNR the
discretion to raise the fees for state parks if they want to, based on the popularity of the park. So some parks can go up and others might stay the same.
Yeah, and the state parks are operating now without any taxpayer dollars.
That's, yeah, that was, the GPR was phased out. GPR, boy, shame on me. Yeah, state taxpayer dollars.
You.
Man, they were phased out in the last budget.
Yeah. Anthony from Green Bay, I'm glad that state workers will have a raise, but the increase is at the back end of the contract. It's a sneaky way of saving money rather than giving raises when the budget actually starts. So, yeah, there's a proposed state employee pay increase in the budget.
Yeah, 2% in 1 year of the budget, 2% in the next, but they do exactly right. They happen very late in the budget. So everything has to work for that spending to happen. Actually, a lot of the spending happens in the second year of the budget. If you actually compare year one of the budget, because of a variety of factors, which are kind of tough to sum up here in conversation, there's a cut in year one of the budget in state funding, and then everything's mm-hmm. backloaded in year two of the budget because of the way that they delay payments or get a lot of savings in year one and then apply it to year two. It's a little bit, it's a little bit tricky. And so, yes, I mean, the raises are on the back end of that. So, you know, if the budget went south, that would be among many spending initiatives that would be, scrutinized.
Assistant district attorneys would get a salary bump, but no more assistant district attorneys, which apparently we're short on them.
That's right. So I spoke to the attorney general last week, and he says that a shortage of assistant district attorneys has been a problem for the state for more than a decade. And that, you know, the caseloads are too high, and so they wanted more positions, essentially, but they also wanted raises for the existing assistant district attorneys. They did get those raises in the budget, and he said that's going to help them retain more experienced attorneys. As of right now, the attorney general says they're getting people straight out of law school, keeping them for just a couple years, and then they're moving on to jobs where they can make a little bit more money. So he says this is really going to help the system out, and state public defenders actually are also getting a small raise in this budget. So,
speaking of, that reminds me of corrections. What do we know? What do we know about funding for corrections, in particular Lincoln Hills? Is there any news there?
We're getting some new positions at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake. Some additional counselors. I think a mental health counselor's in there. Some new officers, some new corrections officers. And this is something that's been pretty highly criticized by Democrats, particularly in the legislature, saying that we shouldn't be putting more money into Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake because, as some folks may know, those facilities have been criticized for some of their practices and treatment of residents there. But the governor's budget does put some additional funding in there for more staff for those facilities.
Yeah. You know, there's a caller who wants to bring up Wisconsin's pension fund, which the governor referred to that during the state budget address about being, you know, a fully funded state pension system. Rather than spreading a rumor at this point, is there any concern that that lawmakers or the governor or anybody else might dip into the pension fund for money for elsewhere or you know anything along those lines?
Yeah, I mean the pension fund is something that the governor references frequently, but that has been the case that it's been a sort of the model pension fund for the nation since before Governor Walker got here. I mean, it's sort of set up and insulated a bit from a lot from politics. Is it something that he calling for a raid for or something like that? I mean, there's nothing that we know of like that right now. I can say there's that DOA benefits from the timing of a pension payment in this budget. And that's about all I can explain and about all I understand from it. But it's part of the way that the state gets savings to pay for what Walker wants to do here.
Let's go to Joe in La Crosse. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I'm kind of echoing what some of the other callers have said, but as an educator in this state, I don't think that there is, you have an administration that has decimated education in the state, taken money from higher ed in proportions unseen before, and now they're tossing a few grains of rice at us as if we're a starving nation and that we're going to grapple for these and be thankful for it. I think that, you know, we have an administration that's shown open disdain for education, and I don't think this is going to garner him votes in 2018.
All right. Well, Joe says that the amount of money going to education doesn't repair the damages. Any thoughts on that as to whether are educators thinking the same thing or are they thinking it's better than cuts?
Well, I mean, I think this is going to be the question heading into next year. Walker has a long record when it comes to this stuff, and you know, look at his first mm-hmm. budget; he cut $800 million from public schools. We talked about each of his budgets have cut the University of Wisconsin system. We don't know actually what this final budget is going to look like when it comes to these things, because legislative leaders are a little iffy about how the governor is spending all this money. The question heading into 2018, assuming that the governor runs for reelection, and it sure looks like he's going to, is, you know, do voters look at what have you done for me lately, or do they look at kind of the big picture and 8 years of the Walker administration? How long are people's memories?
So, Laurel, what are you watching next? What's next in this process?
Well, we've got a long road ahead of us. According to Speaker Voss, it might be October. So we're going to keep an eye on this transportation funding debate. I think the tuition cut. It's interesting to see how the leadership in the legislature doesn't necessarily agree with the governor on some of these big ticket items that he's proposed in his budget.
Well, we'll have you back. Thanks to you both for being here.
Thank you.
Sean Johnson and Laurel White. And thanks to Bill Martins and Naeja Ellison for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. This is the Ideas Network.